ghost stories online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, grandparents cannot deny there's something sinister in their home after their grandchild wakes with red handprints on her neck. Also, a paranormal investigator finds he has very different emotions than he expects to have at the location he's investigating. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hello.
Hello, and how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Got an interesting message on our Facebook page about something that we had talked about, a couple weeks back.
Mm-hmm.
We were debating if there was a ghost that went through our hotel room. You said it was just an employee that seemed to have taken a shortcut through the room.
Yeah.
I was saying, I don't know. I was just trying to kind of freak you out. Well, here's some insight into that, okay?
Okay.
Are you ready for this?
Sure.
Are you sure you want to hear this?
I'm not there right now, so I'm fine to hear it.
This is pretty serious stuff.
Now I know it's bullshit.
It's not bullshit. It's just, it goes in your favor, not mine.
Okay.
So I'm just going to try to play it up a little bit. It's from one of our listeners, Jennifer. It says, hi, Tony and Jenny. Wanted to comment on the incident you guys experienced where you saw somebody enter your hotel room, and then you saw that there was a banquet that could be accessed through your balcony. I worked in hotel maintenance as well as a front desk and night audit at a few small and large hotels, and can tell you without question, yes. The managers in each department have a master key to get into any room at any time, and the staff certainly would take a shortcut through an empty room if it would cut down on setup time. That said, there are multiple processes in place to keep that from happening. If a non-manager wanted to cut through that room and didn't have a master key that could go to the front desk, have a key programmed so that it would expire in 24 hours or as soon as another key is programmed for that lock and was run through it. In your case, it sounds like the individual had a key programmed for your room, so he made that trip a few minutes through, and then a few minutes later, you guys came through, and then it would have canceled his key.
Okay.
Okay. A master key cannot override the deadbolt on the lock, but there is a machine in the maintenance and the staff does have access to that can override the deadbolt, so that's not foolproof. They try their very best not to enter an occupied room, and from what I've experienced, the processes and places work quite well, but accidents happen. I recommend using your flip latch while you're inside your room. It's not foolproof either, but popping that would make enough noise and at least have some warning. Rooms do get vacated or a guest inside or otherwise incapacitated, so they need to get in some way. When I worked maintenance, I used to get called to a room that was locked at least once a week. Either people didn't realize that they've effectively sealed the room, or they think it's funny. And then there's, of course, suicides, murders, and various other criminal elements that require forced entry, but those are different kinds of stories.
And see, that's kind of what I thought, because in this particular hotel, to go from where you enter that room to the balcony,
mm-hmm.
if you didn't go through the room, it's a long walk. So I totally get that. And I was just thinking, okay, that's got to be the logical explanation, which we do look for a lot here mm-hmm. on the show.
It does say, P.S., I know the hotel that you're talking about. And unfortunately for Jenny, there's a lot of demonic possessions that occur there, and they happen to look like hotel staff.
You just made
that up. So that's very likely what occurred.
You just made that up.
You're right. There is no P.S.
Nope. But kudos to you.
Thank you. I tried to sound really convincing until I couldn't get out the word possession.
Yeah.
I was like, a demonic... So, sorry about that. Next time.
Uh-huh.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us or debunk the weird shit that we get paranoid about. Let's go to our first story here. Jess writes in, hello, I absolutely love your show. I'm a relatively new listener, but I've enjoyed listening to all the ghost stories. I have quite a few stories of my own that I'd like to share, and I may send in some more in the future, but the first one I want to share is about a ghost in my grandparents' house that terrorized me when I was younger. Let me preface by saying that I do think I may be a bit sensitive to the paranormal. I don't believe I'm a medium or anything, but I have had way too many experiences not to believe that I somehow attract them. I don't know what I do to draw them to me, but it's been a problem ever since I was a child. In this particular story, I was around 13 and had just moved in with my grandparents. My cousin, who was more like a brother to me, had been living there for a while, and it was just the four of us in my grandmother's dream house. The home was a large log cabin that my grandfather had renovated. It was situated way out of the country, pretty much in the middle of nowhere. There were two stories with a finished basement my grandfather used as his workshop. The front door opened up to a foyer with a large living room, and one side had a kitchen, dining room, and bedrooms on the other side. The downstairs was great, never really felt threatened there. I always got the feeling of warmth and comfort when I walked in the door. The upstairs, however, was a very different story. The air was thick up there, heavy, and could get oppressive at times. Even though there were bedrooms downstairs, my grandparents put my cousin and me in two of the three bedrooms upstairs. My room was directly over the living room and was large enough to have been a second den upstairs. In fact, the room had two full-sized beds, a dresser, and a futon couch in it. My grandfather had also put in a built-in bookshelf and small reading nook when I moved in, as he knew reading was my favorite pastime. It should have been a dream room. It had a stone fireplace on one side and was the hangout room when all my many cousins came over to visit. Everyone thought I was lucky to have such a room at 13. But I hated it. From the second I moved in, things started happening. First, it was just footsteps on the wood floor. It sounded like a man wearing boots pacing in front of the fireplace. I never felt alone in that room. At night, when I tried to sleep, I always felt like someone was standing just beyond the bed, staring at me. I started hearing whispers and snippets of low conversation. It was one-sided, an angry male voice. I never could make out what he was saying, just that he was speaking and he wasn't happy. And I started having nightmares. They were always the same. I'd be in my bed, in my room, and a hand would come down and grab me by the throat. I tried to scream out for help but couldn't make a sound because of the pressure around my throat restricting my airway. Then, I'd wake up, sweating and terrified, out of my mind. I tried sleeping in the different beds in the room, but I'd always have the dream. It got so bad that I actually begged my cousin to sleep in the room with me. This is what happened the one night he did. He chose to sleep on the futon near the door, didn't believe in ghosts, and thought I was just suffering from nightmares. So he didn't have any trouble falling asleep. It took me a while, but I was convinced that nothing would happen with my 6-foot, tough-as-nails cousin sleeping in the room with me. So I eventually fell asleep. I had the dream that night, but it was worse than any that I'd ever had before. I was asleep in the bed, and the hand came down and wrapped itself around my throat like it usually did. I thrashed and tried to scream out, but only a small squeak left my mouth. I could never see who was choking me in the other dreams, only the hand. This time, as I was fighting the entity, I saw the black shape of a man. I couldn't see his face or any other features, just that he was large and too bulky to be female. I'm not sure how long the dream lasted, but I was jolted awake by the lights flickering on in my room. I bolted upright, gulping down, lungs full of air and crying. My throat felt raw and burned like fire. My cousin sat down on the edge of my bed, looking pale and shaking. He told me he'd woken up to the sound of me thrashing around in bed, but he couldn't move. He said there was someone standing over me. The black outline of a man, and he was so terrified he couldn't get up. It wasn't until he realized from the sounds I was making that I couldn't breathe, and he was able to jump up and turn the light on. Neither one of us slept that night. We kept the light on, and I moved out of that bedroom the next day. My grandparents didn't argue about the move. They saw the marks on my neck, and next morning, I told them about what happened. I'd never had marks after the dreams before, but this time my neck was bruised with the impression of two hands wrapped tightly around it. I wore scarves and turtlenecks to school for a while, and no one said anything at home about what happened after that. My grandparents were very religious people, but they were also the no-nonsense sort. I kept having paranormal experiences in the house, but it became an unspoken rule that we didn't discuss such things. I never resented them for it. I think they thought that if we didn't talk about it, then it would go away. It never did, though. Even now, years later, I can't go into that house. Well, that's my story. Sorry if it was long. I hope you enjoyed it. Please keep up the great work on the show.
I don't think this is a case where the grandparents just flat out don't believe that this was going on. I think they honestly thought maybe talking about it out loud would encourage the activity to continue or get worse. And I think that's probably the position a lot of parents take. But sometimes I think that's misunderstood as not being believed.
Yeah, it's kind of a coping mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not always, I think, super healthy for the person that's dealing with it. Because it's almost, it's their way of coping with it, not the individual who's suffering.
Yeah.
Coping with it. So the one person sits there and suffers, and the other people are like, nah, la, 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 la. You know, I guess it's, I don't know. I don't like that.
No, what I would do if you're afraid to talk about it within the home, that's why there's Starbucks. Starbucks are the best meeting places for anything. I would just go to Starbucks and talk about it to my kid and say, okay, I believe you, but I don't want to talk about it in the house because I don't want it to feel encouraged.
Sure, and that would make sense.
Yeah.
It's just the whole, we're going to pretend this really isn't quite going on, or it doesn't quite jive with what, you know, we believe, even though this, there's evidence here of this. Yeah, and not that they necessarily are going to have a solution to it, but it at least starts to get you down the path of trying to find one.
Yeah.
Whether that just be, hey, guess what? You get to sleep in a different room now, or something, you know. Unfortunately, we hear that all too often.
We do.
Where that is kind of what happens. So, thank you for your story and that experience with us. We do greatly appreciate it. I can see the grandpa being kind of frustrated too, because he's like, you know, okay, I'll get this room ready and build this bookshelf for you, and he thinks it's a great room.
Oh yeah.
And here there's, you know, ghost strangling the kids in it.
Yeah, but grandpa's not sleeping in there experiencing what's going on.
Exactly. I wonder if the grandparents ever said, hey, maybe we'll just sleep in there too.
I don't know. Would you?
If it was my kid and I questioned what was going on.
Yeah.
If I had a doubt about it, I would. I mean, just to see.
See, I figured you would have just moved the kid out of that room and called it good. And not...
Well, after the marks, I'd call it good.
Yeah.
Before the marks, you don't know, because kids have nightmares. You know, and you're like, well, let's just see. You know, then, you know, you might get a little, and even then you might not get the evidence you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it may just only be going after the one person. So 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'll go to another letter here in a minute. Let's go to a caller right now. Elena, hi.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. It's Alana from New Jersey. I want to talk about a time that really changed my views on the paranormal. This happened when I was in middle school. I was living with my mom, my dad, and my youngest brother at the time. Me and my brother, we first shared an attic room together. And me being 10, I kind of wanted my own room away from my youngest brother. So I spoke to my parents, and they cleaned out the basement. And in the basement, there's two spaces that can be used as bedrooms, so they turned it into a bedroom, two bedrooms. And a leisure room was a playroom with me and my brother and my sister. So one night, I was in my room. Everybody was asleep. This was way past 12 o'clock in the morning. I should have been asleep because I had school. For some reason, I couldn't go to sleep. So I decided to get up and maybe just go to the kitchen to get something to drink. How my house is set up, there's three floors. There's the attic, the main room, which my parents' bedroom is on, where my dog roamed, the kitchen, and the salon. And then there's the basement. I pulled the curtain open to go upstairs to go to the kitchen, give me some drink, when I noticed that there's this black mass near the bottom of the stairs. And what's so distinct about this black mass was the fact that there's two red glowing orbs where the eyes should be. and it looked like something was growing out the head. I can't get too much details off of it because it's so dark, but I think those things stood out to me. And at first thought, you know, it's probably my eyes adjusting to the dark. But after staring at it for a while, I noticed that it blocked a huge picture that was hanging on the wall behind it. Some of the photo you can see. And the reason I remember the picture being there is because the picture frame had this very shiny gold border and the glass was very shiny. And I was like, okay, well, maybe it's something from the other side of the room that is glowing onto it. And so I'm looking where my TV would be, where the cable box would be. And I was like, okay, I see the cable box. That's the only thing that's glowing red over there. So I look at the picture frame again, and if I look more towards the right of the photo, I can see the little red light that's on the cable box as well as where the number should be. I can see that. But the eyes or the glowing red orbs were on the left side of the photo. So I'm panicking because it's the only way I can get out of the basement is where this black mass is standing. I'm trying to think of ways to get out of the basement. There's not a lot of options. I can go through the windows, but the windows are very small and tiny. I couldn't fit or hide in my laundry room. So I closed the curtain because I didn't have a door for my bedroom. I closed the curtain, and I'm looking around my room to see if there's anything I can use to defend myself because I don't know what this thing is, and I need to get out the basement. And I'm just thinking about what's wrong with my parents because my mom's a very light sleeper, so if somebody gets in there and walks around, my mom will pop up. As well as, I would have heard my dog bark, and my dog didn't bark. And this is a dog that doesn't even allow a squirrel to hang on my fence. I'm like, something happened. I hope my younger brother's okay. Then I need to, what do I do? I'm 10, and I'm scared, and I'm stuck in the basement with something that's terrifying me. So I muster up the courage to go back to the curtain. I pull the curtain open, but this time the black mass is not near the bottom of the stairs. It's within 3 feet of me. And I just remember flopping because this thing is huge. My father at the time was 6'3", and the black mass could be compared to that height, and it was big. And I'm just screaming bloody murder. And I remember my parents running downstairs to turn on the light because the light is near the painting at the bottom of the stairs. And they come downstairs, they're grabbing me. My mom's like, what's wrong? What's wrong? My dad is saying, what's wrong? And I'm going to call my brother A. And I kept telling my father, check on A. There was something down there. It was really big. It looked like it had like horns or something growing out of its head. And its eyes were red, and it was black. I don't know what it was. I'm scared. My parents checked the house. Everything was fine. All the doors were locked. The windows were locked. But they couldn't find this thing that scared me. And thinking back on it, I should have noticed that since the basement had tile stairs, if that thing was to move, I should have heard it walk because of tiles. Not tile stairs, tile flooring, I'm sorry. I should have heard it walking on the tile floors, and I didn't. My dog should have barked because my dog is very protective, like I said, and my dog didn't bark. And if it came from upstairs to downstairs, once the door opened, my mom would have woke up, and like I said, my mother is a very light sleeper. Well, I didn't know what it was, but it really changed my way of thinking of the paranormal, and I started becoming more superstitious like my mom. I hope you enjoyed my story. I have other stories from the house as well. And, you know, guys, I really enjoy the show. I can't wait to become an EPP member soon and keep up the good work. Bye-bye.
That is so disappointing when you get a new room. You think you finally got your own space, only to find out, nope, you're still sharing it. You're just sharing it with somebody you can't beat up now.
It's kind of becoming the theme of the episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that does kind of suck when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
I was really excited when I got my own room and I got to move out of the cat's room as a kid. They had me down there with a litter box for a while. And then they finally said, you know what? You're down. You're trained. You know how to use a litter box. Now you can have your own room. To me, they said this. And I got my own space. It's going to be one of those things where I get a call or an email from my mom going, we never put you in the cat's room with the litter box.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're right, Mom. It's called sarcasm.
I got nothing.
I was just in the crawl space.
Nope.
We never put you in the crawl space. You're right. You didn't. You didn't. But I never had to deal with that. I was an only child.
I always had my own room. Yeah. I never had to share with my brother. I mean, when we were little, mm-hmm. sometimes, you know, we would have a camp out in one of our rooms, but mm-hmm. that was it. Always sure. had my own space.
Yeah, it's nice to have that. Mm-hmm. And not to share it with a ghost.
Yeah.
So thank you for that story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your story with us. Courtney writes in, hello, my name's Courtney. I have a lot to share with you. I'm going to start off with my own experiences and then move into some that have been told to me by family and friends. So I was about 4 or 5. I and my mom and dad and 2 half-sisters lived out in the country in a nice house on 10 acres of land in Fulton, Michigan. It was 4 or 5, and I had to use the bathroom. I was very independent and didn't mind being alone. Went to the bathroom towards the back of the house, which was in a hall where I and my sister's 2 bedrooms were. Shut the door and proceeded to use the bathroom. It was mid-afternoon, the sky was bright, and we had a skylight above the shower. And because it was so light, I didn't turn the light on in the bathroom. Looked up from the toilet, and on the wall I saw a shadow of a child hanging upside down from the ceiling. I stared at it, trying to find out what it was coming from. So I looked to the source of light, and nothing could have made that shadow. I freaked out and started yelling. My oldest sister came in, and I told her and pointed at it, but she didn't see it. And so I left it at that. It never happened again. A while later, I'd say I was 5 or 6, still living in the same house with the same people. It was dark out. My parents were in their room, which was right behind our living room, which is where we were sitting on the couch. My second oldest sister was reading a book above the light on the couch. I was lying down, trying to sleep on the couch, and my oldest sister was just sitting on the other end of the couch. The light that was behind us was the lamps that have many lights in hanging over us. The switch on the light was one you could turn and adjust the brightness. Because we lived in the country, it wasn't abnormal to have power surges here and there that turned everything low, making a loud sound, and then everything would go black to what we'd had on, or back to what we had on. Well, I and my sisters had been arguing about the light, the setting, and I wanted it off because I was trying to nap. My second oldest sister wanted the light on because she was reading. We started screaming at each other, and my parents yelled at us to quit arguing, and all of a sudden, it got completely silent. I was already facing the light because of the way I had been lying, and the light turned itself to a dim setting while my sisters were not facing it to turn it, and no one else had been in the room. We all looked at each other and freaked out and ran to my parents' bedroom. Not too long after that, my sisters were at their grandparents' house, which I had only been there once or twice before this. But while they were gone, I had a dream that had taken place at one of them, and that I had gotten up early that morning to go out to the stairs, hearing pots and pans. When I walked downstairs, the pans all stopped and fell over the floor as I investigated. Realizing their grandparents were still asleep, I ran back upstairs and woke up my oldest sister. We stopped at the top of the stairs and saw an old lady at the bottom of the stairs sitting in the chair crocheting something. Well, I woke up and thought nothing. Sure as crap, when they came home that weekend, they told me a story that was identical to the dream I had, and that when they told their grandparents, their grandpa pulled out an old photo and they identified the old lady in the picture. It had been his mom. While I'm going in this chronological order of stories, my oldest sister went to junior high while I was in elementary school, still living in Fulton, Michigan. My sister came home from school one day saying she had a friend named Jennifer with her. I made fun of her since there was clearly no one there. She said she had gone to the bathroom at school. No one was in there when she got in, and when she went to wash her hands, a girl walked out of the stall in very older Victorian clothing and she looked dead, like she'd been choked or stabbed. The girl talked to her, and she heard the girl say her name was Jennifer. The elementary school I had gone to had a grave memorial in the front of the school, a beautiful butterfly garden for a girl who had been killed. So the next day, I asked my teacher what the girl's name was, who had the memorial in front of the school, and how she had died. She told me her name was Jennifer, and that she was found after school in the bathroom, dead, like she was trying to get out of the bathroom. She didn't give me details on how she died, since I was still in elementary school. I thought it was strange, though, that my sister had the details to a T and had never once been told anything about her, since no one talked about that and the school was built a long time ago.
I think of all the things in that story, I think the girl in the bathroom is my favorite part, just because sometimes old schools, the bathrooms are just scary, and I don't really know why.
I don't know. I mean, a lot of times I feel like the bathrooms are the last to be updated.
Yeah.
In some of the old schools, where eventually you you should update the bathrooms, but they seem to be the last. A lot of wear and tear happens everywhere, including in the bathrooms. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Maybe that's just it. Maybe a lot of it is just the aesthetics of it.
To make it creepy.
Yeah. I mean, I remember the ceilings falling out of the one in my high school,
mm-hmm.
above the urinals. And that's, I mean, and you know why? It was leaking for the last 100 years. And it was a 3-story high school that also resembled somewhat of a prison. And all limestone building.
Mm-hmm.
And it did look like a prison. I mean, there was the type of castle type roofs where you'd have the
spires.
The spires where you put the guns.
Oh.
No, like the torrents or what was it?
Turrets.
Turrets, yeah. Uh-huh. It had those.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, when I say it felt like a prison, it felt like a prison. I mean, aesthetically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and there was always the rumor that, when it was built, it was originally built as a prison. I don't think so. I've looked at the history of it. But I don't know. I mean, it even had like a giant smokestack to this building that was once used. This thing was built in like 1890-something.
Yeah.
Okay. So, anyway, that was just one of the creepy aspects of it, because the floor above it, building 3 stories, bathroom, bathroom, bathroom on top of each other in the men's area, the urinals, leakage happens over the years and eventually eats away the ceiling on the floor below.
That's gross.
Isn't it, though?
That's really gross.
We were the last class in that building, so there was no incentive or probably budget to go, maybe we should fix that. No, it's just, hey, look. Ceiling got eaten away by some sort of acidic material.
Ew.
Happy days in high school. Speaking of throwback things, I found Throwback Spree today.
Yeah, the box looks like 1985.
Do you remember Spree?
I love Spree.
I loved, and these are the hard ones. These are not the chewy ones.
Yeah, I don't like the chewy
ones. The chewy ones never quite tasted like the hard ones. And I saw these, I'm like, I loved Spree. Would you like some Spree?
Yeah.
They are delicious. Here you go.
I always got these when I went roller skating.
They used to come in the rolls.
Yeah.
Like sweet tarts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they sell them like they were. And they still taste pretty much like they used to. But this got me thinking of another candy that used to exist. And I finally figured out its name today.
Okay.
And I just thought I'd throw this out there. I know it's not ghost related, but it's kind of a zombie candy, if you will. Because
mm-hmm.
it's no longer in existence as far as I can tell. If anyone remembers this, A, and B, has an alternative to it, it's a Brock's candy. Remember the old Brock's displays
mm-hmm.
where you put like the nickel in and it's on your honor and you get like a piece of candy or
right.
whatever? I would always drop a penny in and take a piece of candy because it still made the ting sound and
mm-hmm.
I was cheap. From what I thought they were called, were fruit discs, but no. I Googled this today, and I've been Googling this for a couple of years with no luck. I was just trying to find a picture.
Okay.
Found it. They were called Sparkles from the 80s. They were little candy, hard candies,
mm-hmm.
fruit, and they were like an oval-esque disc. They were pretty much the same shape almost as a Werther's original.
Okay.
But they were fruit, and they were kind of transparent, and they were very, very sweet. Fruit-flavored candies. Delicious.
Mm-hmm.
I loved them. Loved the lemon one. A lot of people like the watermelon one. And they're not in existence anymore. Can't find them anywhere. So I'm just wondering if anyone remembers these things, number one. And number two, what do you what's an alternative? What tastes like it? Because they were very distinctive. Like you had it, you knew exactly what you were getting.
And see, I never got any candy out of the Brock's display.
Oh, we got them a lot. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Or my grandma had them like in a jar or something. But I just, they were really good and they lasted a lot. They're great car trip candy.
See, I'm sure that I could have, but my parents always discouraged that, just kind of like how they told me that if the ice cream truck is playing music, they're out of ice cream. So, you know.
I said a lot of shit to you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But you did in turn pass that, the ice cream truck story down.
I tell you what, it works like a charm when they're little and they don't get it.
Until they realize that it's all complete BS.
Uh-huh.
And then it's like meltdown. All those years, I thought it was this! A lot of crying, a lot of therapy about the ice cream truck.
Yeah.
So anyway, Sparkles is what they were called. Brock's Fruit Sparkles or something of that nature, but Sparkles was the key term.
Okay. So
hopefully we can solve this unsolved mystery.
Oh, please don't.
Bradley writes in, "Hi guys, EPP here. Thanking you for all the great shows and stories. Your show has become a nightly routine to hit the podcast as I jump into bed to read. I'm writing to share one of my stories from back when I was part of a notable paranormal investigation team here in Virginia. At this time, I was new to the field and pretty green and skeptical. On this particular evening, we were investigating the Civil War era Exchange Place Hotel in Gordonsville, Virginia. In March of 1862, owing to its strategic location along two primary rail lines, the Exchange Hotel became part of the Gordonsville Receiving Hospital, admitting more than 23,000 sick and wounded in less than a year. The wounded and dying from nearby battlefields such as Cedar Mountain, Chancellorsville, Trevelyan Station, Main Run, Brady Station, and the Wilderness were brought by the train loads. While interviewing staff, we additionally discovered that the terrible measles and other typhoid fever epidemic had occurred in approximately 1863. The outbreak not only killed many patients and medical staff, but also ordinary citizens of Gordonsville, who had the misfortune of living in close proximity to the hospital. All the victims of the outbreak were buried on the grounds of the hospital. On top of all of this, a slave had apparently hung himself in the rafters of the adjacent servants' quarters. The investigation took place overnight from about dusk to dawn, during which we experienced many equipment malfunction abnormalities. Still, photo cameras placed about the hotel later revealed odd white streaks and shapes. The camera that had been located in the servants' quarters produced a series of bizarre streaked images that almost looked like time-lapse photography. Anyway, once everyone fell asleep, I was left alone to monitor cameras and sound equipment and decided to walk around the hotel and found myself immediately feeling like whatever was there was harmless and, as weird as it is to say, a good and playful soul, and probably a younger female. All night I was drawn to a period gray dress on a mannequin upstairs in the small hotel museum. It seemed I'd hear the sounds of a dress ruffling on the stairway when I was downstairs. There was also a faint lilac perfume scent coming from upstairs throughout the night. I could go on and on about it, but the main idea here is that after all the suffering and dying that had taken place within those walls, I'd experienced more of a sense of dread, gloom, or foreboding. Instead, I was taken aback by the positive, almost caring feeling I experienced there, like something wanted me to be there. When morning came, we were packing up, I was totally bummed and felt really sad to be leaving. I don't mind admitting that I almost felt like crying. It was just a total bizarre feeling that I've never forgotten, especially after I'd arrived there with such trepidation. I'm now a firm believer that goodness and kindness can transcend the grave. Thanks again, Brad in Richmond, Virginia.
That is interesting, because you would just assume that there's sad and negative energy there. Mm-hmm. And there may be, but the overwhelming energy he picked up on was not that.
Do you think people are prone or more, you know, sensitive on one spectrum or the other to feel the negative or the positive? Like, another person goes in the exact same time and place and they feel all this negative stuff. He goes in and he gets all the positive stuff. Because, and not saying that one is existing over the other, but they're both existing simultaneously. Because you would have a lot of good and bad there, especially if you have a ghost that was there caring for people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'd be a lot of passion there in that end of things. But one person is more sensitive to the good and one is more sensitive to the bad.
You know, that could be. And the reason I think maybe you're onto something is because I can't remember a time where I walked into a place and I felt the energy overwhelm me that was a positive energy.
Mm-hmm.
It was just very, you know.
Sure.
I'm not affected by that. But negative energy is what I pick up on.
I wonder, you know, we have all different types of ghosts. Mm-hmm. I wonder if we have all different types of people. You know, we obviously have people who are sensitive to them, but maybe there's a lot more to that than just you're sensitive to ghosts or the paranormal or energy or empathic. Maybe there's different ends of that empathic scale, if you will, mm-hmm. as far as what you're most sensitive to. It's like how they say, like redheads, for example, I believe, like scientifically, are more sensitive to heat and cold
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason. They're obviously still a person, but for whatever reason, their genetic makeup makes them more sensitive to those things.
Yeah.
Could that be, you know, I would think it would make sense for other spectrums of things as well.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that is something.
Could be.
We're just connecting so many dots here today. It's all because of the spree
mm-hmm.
that we're eating. It was chewy spree. This would not be going on.
No.
What do you think? Do they still taste like 1986?
They do.
They're not quite as color. It looks like the colors are not quite as vibrant, though, as they were back then. Or was it just that we had better eyes in 1986?
It's hard to know.
They are. Although I looked at that and I was like, they look a little different. But they were in that roll back then.
Mm-hmm.
Not getting all banged into each other. This is like a box of rocks here now. So I suppose that kind of some issues with it. I'm evaluating every aspect of the retro candy.
Okay.
To make sure it's still on target. Have you tried the retro sodas?
No.
Like the throwback Pepsi and stuff?
Mm-mm.
I really can't tell the difference because I don't remember what they taste like back then.
Okay.
Nivelle?
I think so.
Nivelle writes in, "Hi guys, listening to your podcast for about 2 months now and I'm hooked. Trying to catch up on all the episodes and I love that there's a new episode every day. So exciting. Anyway, my strange experience happened about 15 years ago. I was a freshman in high school, and even though I've always enjoyed ghost stories since forever, I've never had any kind of encounter before. So it was a weekend night, and the apartment my family lived in at the time was two stories. The kitchen, living room, and main bathroom downstairs, and three bedrooms and a half bathroom upstairs. My parents had the middle bedroom, which was directly above the living and dining room. My older sister and I shared the bedroom facing the street, and my older brother had the bedroom facing the backyard. My sister was in college during this time, so she wasn't home. She went to school in upstate New York and would come home for the holidays or randomly from time to time on the weekends. My older brother had a job where he had to travel around, so he wasn't home much either. So it was mostly my parents, my little brother, and I at home. My little brother was probably about 2 years old, and his crib was in my parents' bedroom. This one weeknight, I was downstairs in the kitchen doing homework while my mom was cooking dinner and my dad was showering. My little brother was napping upstairs in his crib. All of a sudden, my mom and I heard a loud thump upstairs in my parents' bedroom, right around the area where my brother's crib was placed. We went upstairs to check on him, thinking maybe he had fallen out of the crib, but to our surprise, he was sound asleep. We went back downstairs, and maybe about 10 or 15 minutes later, we heard really loud footsteps moving around, this time in the same area. And by loud, I mean really loud. It sounded as if someone was stomping around with boots. And knowing that my brother was asleep, and he definitely was not going to be stomping around in boots, my mom and I freaked and ran into the bathroom where my dad was. He asked us what had happened, and we told him. He didn't believe us and called us scaredy cats and said if we showed fear that there really was something, we were just feeding into it. Apparently, though, this was not the first time my mom had heard the same kind of thing. She was a stay-at-home mom and said once or twice a similar thing had happened to her. She'd hear footsteps while my brother was sleeping, or would go and check and there'd be absolutely nothing. My brother would be peacefully sleeping. She told my dad this, but he kept telling her this must be the floorboards. My sister, too, had apparently heard a similar thing. She told us after this happened that one night when she was home from school and stayed up late downstairs in the living room, she heard pacing in my parents' bedroom. She figured it was my mom checking on my brother or something of that nature. But after about 15 minutes or so of hearing the pacing, she went upstairs to check if something was wrong, and she found everyone was asleep. Needless to say, she got spooked and decided to call it a night and went upstairs. Anyway, after both of those instances with my mom and sister, my dad had decided to go to a church near where he worked and ask about the strange events. The priest had given him a bottle of holy water and advised him, if necessary, he could walk around spraying holy water and demanding the ghost or spirit or whatever it was to leave our house. Sure enough, that's what my dad did that night. He walked up the stairs spraying holy water around in the process and saying, whatever or whoever is in our house, you are not wanted here. I demand that you leave and not come back and leave us alone. I was giggling at the whole thing because it seemed kind of silly, even though I was a little scared because I know I had heard those very distinct stumps. I never did hear anything like that again. And my mom, who would stay home alone all day with my brother, says she never heard anything strange like that again either. We moved a few years later and never had a similar experience after my dad shooed away whatever it was in our house. So what was in our house? We don't know, but it still creeps me out when I think about it. The only thing my mom ever said was it made her nervous because it seemed to have targeted my little brother. The fact that he was not baptized and was a baby made her imagination run wild with possibilities as to what it wanted with him and why the footsteps were only heard when he was sleeping and usually alone. Thanks for the awesome podcast, and keep doing what you do.
So that is pretty funny that he just was able to shoo him away. It's like you need to put the holy water in like a spray bottle and just, you know, spray
super
it like,
soaker.
Like Lysol.
That'd be good. You think it would spread for it further?
Yeah.
If he had like the aerosol type can.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's interesting that it went away that quickly. It makes you think that that might have been some sort of like very low level like demonic force that was easily shooed away.
Or just an asshole ghost.
Are asshole ghosts though affected by holy water? When I think of holy water affecting something, it seems to need to be something kind of dark.
I don't know. Maybe the ghost didn't want to find out.
If they were, in fact, maybe not knowing.
Yeah.
Do they always know?
I don't think they know much more than we do.
There's some very, you know, there's, you know, evil people.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, you know, if they just think I'm just an asshole, or if they go, I'm dark, I'm demonic.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting question.
Because when I say that I don't think they know much more than we do, I mean, I don't think they get the whole in and out story on every single type of ghost.
Oh,
when they become one, I think it's just kind of like, oh, I don't know if that's going to affect me, so I'm just going to leave.
Just in case.
That's what I would do.
It's like with the saging and stuff, too. That seems to sound, although we've had stories of that where sometimes it seems to only affect the negative entities, but the good ones are okay, and sometimes it seems to affect everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Is it affecting the everyone because those other ones are just like, I don't know about this?
I don't know, and I don't think they know.
But who knows?
Nobody knows.
I'll tell you who. Egon Spengler. And he died the other year.
So he really knows now that he's a ghost.
Yeah, but we're all screwed.
Yeah.
It's not fair. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Latasha in Texas. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Latasha calling from Texas. I actually had called and left a story back in February. I don't think the call went through, so I'm going to go ahead and retell the story. This experience happened when I was just starting middle school. I had just started the sixth grade, and my family moved into a duplex. And the first night that we moved in, my older sister told me that two kids had been murdered in that duplex. So that freaked me out, of course, the first night. I couldn't sleep. And as I got to know the kids around the neighborhood, I started asking them about it, and they heard the stories too. They just weren't sure which duplex it happened in, but they knew that it happened on that street. Basically, it was a 12-year-old girl who went to school with my sister. They were, at the time that the accident happened, that they were going to the middle school that I was getting ready to start going to. And the girl's 5-year-old brother, they were both shot to death by a boy that went to high school. And he went to the same school as my brother. My brother said that this kid had no friends. He was an outcast. He didn't talk to anyone. And basically what he said was he went and knocked on the door, and he told the kids that he was there to work on the TV, and then he shot them both. And he left, so by the time the mother came out of her room after she heard the gunshots, she came and found her kids dead, and the guy was already gone. So my first experience that happened after hearing the stories, For Christmas, I had gotten a really big stereo with, it had like a three disc changer. It had surround sound speakers. It was a really cool stereo. As far as I know, it didn't have any kind of alarms on it or anything. It wasn't like an alarm clock radio. And a few months after I had gotten it, I was in my room sleeping. Everyone was asleep. It was the middle of the night. It was way past midnight at least. And I always turned my stereo off before I went to bed. And I never listened to it very loud because I had two baby nephews that were also living with us. So I just, you know, I just listened to it loud enough for me to hear when I was doing homework or just hanging out in my room. So I was asleep, and out of nowhere, my stereo turns on full blast by itself. And I look up, and I see who I thought was my older sister standing in my doorway. And she says, "What are you doing?" And I said, "What are you doing?" I thought she was playing some kind of joke on me. So then she leaves. So I jump up and I turn the light on really fast and I run and I turn the stereo off and I'm just staring at it like, what's going on? And I look at the volume and it's on max volume. It's turned all the way up and I never listened to it that loud. So I turned the volume down, I unplugged it, and I put a sheet over it because it scared me to even look at it. And I left it that way for the remaining time that we lived in this house. To this day, I still don't leave any stereos plugged in, only the alarm clock radio. But even the alarm clock radio in the guest bedroom, it's not even plugged in unless somebody's staying in there. I don't cover the radios with sheets anymore, but I just don't leave them plugged in. I just don't trust it. And I still have the stereo in my closet. I don't listen to it, but I still have it with me today. So, and another experience that happened was during the summer. My little sister had gotten for her birthday this My Size doll. It wasn't the Barbie one. It was a different, it was like one of the collectible versions, like a generic version, I guess you could call it. And so this doll, she couldn't like stand up by herself or anything like that. So my sister would always just like prop her up against the wall if she wasn't playing with her. So she would always leave it in my mom's room, propped up against the closet door. That's where it stayed. And one day, everybody was out doing their own thing. I had gone, sorry, I'm out of breath. I was working out earlier, and I'm still kind of trying to catch my breath, and I'm getting over a cold. But anyway, excuse me. So I had gone swimming with friends, and I came back home, and it was just my older sister and her friends hanging out. They were teenagers. And I went out to the back patio and I saw my sister's doll outside. And I said, "Why is her doll on the back patio?" And my sister said, "Oh my God, I have to tell you what happened." Her friend said that they were all in the living room watching TV and they heard a noise. It sounded like someone talking coming from one of the back rooms. So her friend gets up to go because she's like, "I know nobody else is here but us." And she walks back there. She doesn't see anything in my room. She doesn't see anything in the other room. And she looks in my mom's room, and the doll is standing by itself in the middle of the room looking towards the hallway, and she can still hear voices. And she was like, "Oh, my God." She went and got everybody, and she was like, "Y'all come look at this doll." And they went back, and they were like, "How did that doll get there? That doll can't even stand up on its own." I don't know who was brave enough to grab it, but they picked it up, and they threw it outside. And I don't know what happened to the doll after that. We might have sold it later on once my sister got older in a garage sale or something, but I don't remember even seeing that doll in the house after that. And the last thing that happened was, it was a Saturday night. We had some family over for a get-together, and all the adults and the teenagers were all in the living room, and me and my cousin and my stepsister, we were all in my room hanging out because we didn't want to play outside with my friends. We were just bored. So we were like, "Well, whatever, let's turn the lights off and put on some blindfolds and just like try to find each other." It sounds kind of corny, but that's what we did back in the day. So we were just playing around, and then all of a sudden we hear this loud bang on my window. Freaked us out. My cousin and my stepsister immediately turn the light on, and I run to my window and I flip the blinds open. And I got to the window with enough time to catch one of my friends or somebody playing a joke. I looked out the window. I didn't see anyone back there. There was nothing was moving. I didn't see anybody going out the gate. I didn't see anybody running in the patio door. Like, for instance, if somebody was playing a joke on us from inside the house, I would have heard it because my room was right next to the kitchen, which that's where the patio door was to the backyard. So we go in the living room and we ask everybody, did y'all hear that loud bang? And they were like, no, all we heard was y'all screaming. What happened? So we told them what happened, and they didn't know what we were talking about. So it wasn't them. I talked to my friends the next day. They said they weren't even outside playing, and they didn't come over to my house. So we don't know what it was, but we stayed out of the room for the rest of the night, and we just hung out in the living room. And just recently, we were talking about all these ghost stories that happen in the family, and I brought up this story about my stereo again with my older sister. And I said, do you remember when you were standing in my doorway and you were asking me why I turned on the radio and I thought it was you? And she said, you know what? I remember you keep bringing that up. She said, but that wasn't me standing in your doorway. So that freaks me out now, knowing that I wasn't even talking to her. I don't know who it was. She would have been the only one, because everybody else was asleep and nobody else heard my stereo turn on. And she said she didn't even hear it. She just heard me tell her about it. So nobody else even heard it. So had she told me back then that that wasn't her, I think I would have been even more scared. But now thinking about it, I'm still wondering who was that. But anyway, that's my story. And I will be calling back with another one. Something happened with my sister's six-year-old in their apartment. He's been seeing some things, and she wanted me to share those stories with you to get some feedback. So I'll call back at another time. But thanks for listening. Bye.
So that wasn't even the sister in the doorway.
What was it?
I don't know. That's scary.
I'm kind of like left on the cliffhanger of something is my nephew or whatever is seeing something. And mm-hmm. That's like, oh, God.
Yeah.
They want to get some. Okay. Yes. Let us know.
Mm-hmm.
Good stories there.
Those were good.
I do appreciate that one. Latasha, thank you for calling in and sharing that. That's, yeah. Just the image, you know, in your mind of something standing there,
mm-hmm.
not quite knowing exactly what it is. Yeah. Thanks for the stories. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, please support it. Help us stay on the air. Become an EPP. Sign up on the website, ghostpodcast.com. We'll send you there. That's the EPP exclusive site with all of the stories on there, all of the exclusive episodes, almost 90 of them there for you now. Exclusive video content and more. So check that out. That's what keeps this thing on the air. Only $5 a month to get access to all of it. Or you sign up for a full year and get one of those months for free. So check that out. Ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.